Welcome to Heal and Go Public with Karen Hibner. Picture this. I sit in a large, open, airy, almost breezy warehouse on one of those little gray artist stools at a massive work table. You crack the door open, I turn with a welcoming and knowing smile on my face. I gently but joyfully wave for you to come in, and there's a stool set up for you. I ask you, what do you want to create or recreate today? I've built this studio to be a judgment-free space, a space that you can expand and expand and expand in, a space where you can surprise yourself with what you can build. We are all continually creating ourselves, who we are and how we are. I believe our own creative process is the door to our healing. I believe sharing our creations is often the access point to healing for others. I believe in healing and going public. I'm your creative guide, Karen Hibner. I'm an artist, podcast producer and editor, and former spiritual director. Let's explore what it means to create. Let's wonder at what it means to heal and go public. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for being here again, being with us today. Thank you for your ears, your energy, your time in this space. It is a great honor to me that you would be here in this space with me. And today I have another super fun episode for you all. It is another episode in the artist series. So this series is all about, and I keep calling it a series, but it's probably just a new ongoing implement of like this project. But this series is all about getting to know artists and creatives in and through their process and how they find and access connection with self and connection with others through it, which I like to call healing. So I have today with me Shauna Miller. Shauna Miller is actually one of my one-on-one clients, so I get to know her in a different way, and it's such an absolute gift and honor of my life. But Shauna is a painter, among many other things, beginning to venture through and in different mediums as well. But let me set up her actual bio for us, and then we'll welcome her and we'll jump into the dialogue. So Shauna Miller is a wife, mother, and figurative oil painter living and working near Aspen, Colorado. Her current work focuses on the bittersweet beauty and weight of motherhood. She began oil painting 7 years ago and has studied in the studio of Michelle Dahl in Hoboken, New Jersey. She grew up in Fort Collins, Colorado, but only recently relocated back to the state from Manhattan, New York, with her husband and two young sons. She has a master's degree in international political economy and has lived abroad on three separate occasions. Her artistic background includes a year of film school in Madrid, Spain, and work in advertising and marketing in Miami, Florida. Now recommitted to her fine art practice, she was a 2022 Aspen Art Museum Artist Fellow, had a November 2022 solo show at the Art Base in Basalt, Colorado, and is currently showing work at Anderson Ranch Arts Center in Snowmass and the Aspen Chapel Gallery in Aspen, Colorado. Shauna Miller, it is with great pleasure I welcome you here to the space. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's a thrill.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here today, and I'm so excited to get to know you in this way and to hear more about your work and your practice. So that was your formal bio, but yeah. Can you just tell us like your today, your accessible, your like where you are right now, description of what you do and who you are? What you do, who are you as an artist? Let's like boil it down.
I mean, my today bio is different than my yesterday bio, right?
Right.
It's funny because I just had a call this morning that I do weekly with my online artist network, and we were going through our elevator pitches. So we were discussing what that is and writing down notes and jotting down ideas. And it's one of those exercises that you never want to do, and then you do it and you're like, oh, thank God I did this.
Yes.
Because we're always growing and things are always changing. And so like for the first time I wrote down, I am an interdisciplinary artist. I'm like, okay, well, I get to own this new title now and grow into it, because it took me long enough to own the title of artist as it was.
Yes.
So now I'm just moving right along. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing that it just continually keeps transforming? And like, as soon as you, I feel like it's like motherhood in a way, as soon as you feel like you put your finger on it, then it's like, I'm transforming again.
Something else. Yep.
Yeah, totally. Amazing. So interdisciplinary, are there other ways that you would describe you and your art practice today?
No, just that it's in flux at the moment. I am a figurative painter and I will remain a figurative painter, but that's being married with a new way to express myself and express what I have to share and what, where I want to go, because the VR component is, I don't know if we mentioned that, I'm working into virtual reality. Mm-hmm. Two dimensions is not enough. I'm going into three.
More.
And the reason for that is because I've always been really interested in immersive experiences. And the entry point for large scale installation work is difficult. It's high. It requires a lot of money and resources, and it's, you know, heavy load on the environment. And with VR technology now, you can have that immersive experience without anything physical involved. It's just bits and bytes in a headset. So it really kind of opens up the possibilities in new ways that I'm so psyched to explore. It's just a whole new world. So I'm just getting started.
Yeah. Actually, a whole new world.
Yeah. I'm just getting started and I'm learning the softwares that I need to know to make what I want to make. And yeah, it's just fun. At this point, it's exploration and fun, and I know where I want to go with it, but I also realize that new ideas will come along as I go. And that's just a fun spot to sit in.
Yeah. Wow. I love the discovery that's present in that. And also the permission that you've given yourself, like almost like just from all the other work that I do as a spiritual director, just knowing the level of safety that it takes to allow ourselves to learn something new. Totally. Like you've done a lot of work there to allow yourself to master one medium and completely shake it up now and to allow yourself to learn something, and not only learn something new, like you're not going from like oil painting to watercolor or something like that, right? Like you're going to an entirely different, with like all different skill set, all different, really technology and tools as well. So that's wild. So just to commend you on that as well. Is that approach, as far as like your willingness, your excitement for discovery, your excitement for learning and just like jumping into something new, Is that similar to when you approached painting, your oil painting, or is that a different, does it look different?
That is an interesting question. I think it's a little different, because painting for me was kind of returning to an old friend, but an old friend that I had a lot of baggage with, whereas VR is something brand new. It's like meeting a new friend. So it's different.
Yeah, I believe it. And you were also in such a different stage of life when you were returning to that old friend also.
Yes.
So to also acknowledge that you have much different needs on your process also.
Good point.
And what you're looking at and what you're wondering at and discovering also. So also this like kind of permission to learn and to wonder and to discover also just tells me that there's probably a lot going on in your current phase of life that like allows that and makes that possible.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a certain comfort level with my art practice because I've been at it now for 7 years and I've learned so much along the way about myself and why I'm doing it and why it matters.
Yes.
And so I just bring a different level of awareness. I think that's why you said that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. So going back to painting was like an old friend. And also I didn't know this about you, but your master's degree in international political economy, you have backgrounds in many different things.
Yes.
How did you, I mean, you said you mentioned a reluctancy to owning the artist title, the artist word. Can you give us a little bit of insight into what it's looked like for you to become artist or turn to art as your like primary work and medium of being?
Yes. I think that I will probably say things that everyone else would say in that regard. It was never considered a viable career path for obvious reasons, honestly, in terms of fine art. And I think maybe for that reason, I didn't pursue it sooner. I think there were other reasons too, though. I just have really wide-ranging interest. So I didn't do any of those other jobs or careers for lack of creativity. It was more because I had interest in all of those spheres.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until motherhood that I realized it's time to go back. I think I always knew that my art practice would be there for me. I call it art practice. I feel like maybe just calling it art, right? Mm-hmm. Art is there. You can do it whenever you want. You don't need anything special. You pick up a pencil, you do it. And I knew that that was always an option for me. I wasn't ever ready to go full force into it because I think, mm-hmm. I don't know why. I mean, these divergent interests and also a kind of imposter syndrome, probably from my youth. Motherhood changed all that because it lit a fire under me in terms of time. Realizing that time is short. No one has less time than a new mother. And yes. And yet here I was saying, well, I have no time. I better paint. I better make some time out of thin air and do this thing. And it had to do with being seen. And what I thought of it as being seen by others. That is really what motivated me initially to paint the subject matter that I painted, was this desire to be seen by others. But in the process of that, I realized, oh man, this really has more to do with me understanding myself and seeing myself for who I am.
Yeah.
On
absolutely.
Multiple levels, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that makes so much sense. Especially too with your subject matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, being a young mom and also like being a new mom and like looking at motherhood so intense that it makes sense like that your access point was like, oh, like this is getting me seen by others. But then that there's this deep connection. I mean, hours and hours and hours in the studio with yourself, hours and, you know, learning what you're doing and learning what you're approaching and all of that, that there builds this access point to the deep connection within yourself being mm-hmm. seen by you. And that's such a massive, oh my goodness, like knowing that art would always be an option for you, but then being able to be like, actually, this is what I'm going to do. And this is what I'm going to spend my time on. That pivot, like, oh my goodness, the trust that it in yourself that it took, and then also the trust that it builds, like, oh my gosh, I have my own back. I'm doing something for me. Like I'm doing something that I want to, not that you didn't want to do all of those things before and it wasn't for you, but you know, like that's very intense. That's a very intense bridge to build to that self, that connection with self.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it that way in the past. I thought of it as almost like there's this word matrescence, where you just change after childbirth, something physiologically changes. Yeah. And I felt like that definitely happened, but yeah.
That happened.
For good, obviously.
Yes. It's just more absolutely.
Of like who I am and what I have to offer and who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. I feel like too, so many times the people that I talk to, like our final, like, okay, I give in, like, this is a title I'll use for myself. This is an identity that I'm going to like embrace. So often comes out of like a desperation or like a complete like reset or something like that.
I identify with that completely because even as a child, people would say, oh, you're going to be an artist. And I was such a naysayer. I was like, no way. Because that's what my mom did some of the time. She did many things, but among them, she was a portrait painter. And so to me, it was like, well, that's not special. My mom does it. And it seemed like the least interesting thing somehow, even though I love watching her work. You know, it's not that I thought there was no value in that. I don't know. I guess I was trying to differentiate myself, individuate.
Of course.
And I kept pushing away from it. But then anytime I found myself in a situation throughout my years, whether it was post-college or high school or whatever, art was what I would fall back on. Fallback meaning just like it was always there. If something wasn't working out, I could say, well, let me just do it this way. And I would throw some creative spin on it and turn it into what I knew how to do. And it always worked out. So it's funny to finally like embrace like, okay, this is who I am. This is what I do. And those things being kind of one and the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's the thing is that like artist as identity and wiring and artist as like profession and career, like I feel like it's one of those things that is so closely intertwined. And I think that there are a few other things that are so closely intertwined in that, like maybe musicians and like other creative like things. This is just my theory though. I have no idea. But that it is, it's like what you do and also like who you are and how you're wired. Like I identify with that so much as far as like when I was young, people would ask like, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was always like, I mean, sometimes it probably was astronaut and like stuff like that, but it was usually artists. Like I just loved drawing, loved coloring. And at some point too, art was where I received a lot of praise too. And so like that reinforced that as well. But finding myself exploring different modalities and how it shows up. So even now, so like I initially was a dancer big time. That was my first paid gig, was teaching children how to dance and doing private lessons and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
My body gave out. So having to pivot, that's when I pivoted to photography. So just kind of seeing, I just resonate with that of how it really does feel like it is something that is just so innately how I'm wired.
Totally.
And it comes out in everything. Like, that's why I always own the like primary artist identity, even though like right now I'm in a slow period of creation. I haven't created in a number of years in the way that I desire to, and really struggle with still maintaining that like I am artist thing, but it comes out in how I approach people's podcasts. It comes out in how I approach spiritual direction. You know, it's all of, it's the way that I'm wired. So
it's just how we live our lives.
Yes. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, let's go microcosm first, and then maybe that'll take us back to how you live your life too. But tell me a little bit about your process, keeping in mind that you have a massive pivot in medium right now, or a massive, I don't even want to say pivot because that sounds weird, a kind of like just
expansion.
A continuation of your practice, and you're going into a different form. How would you describe your process, maybe generally, or if you want to hone in on one of the medias that you use?
Well, I can talk about everything to date, at least for the last 6-7 years. And that is, I start with a vision in my mind of what I want to portray and why. And in the past, that has been motherhood, involving models, many of whom I know. Some self-portraiture as well. I start with photography because these all involve children. So getting a live model is not an option.
They are on the move.
And so the photography process is the first step. Take lots of pictures. I examine them. I hone in. I look for what feels right to me in terms of, I don't know if I even want to call it narrative, but just the sensation that I want to convey. And then I go to work painting. I take that picture and transfer it somehow onto either like linen, or I do some charcoal and paper, whatever medium feels right, mostly just oil and charcoal. And I go to work, you know, painting that image. And that is in itself a meditative process. And there's been a lot of learning over the years in terms of capturing skin tones and layering paint and all the technical aspects of oil painting. I mean, the learning process is the whole story in itself, because there was these moments where I was just like, ah, it's not doing what I want it to do. And so much frustration. And I just had to double down on patience and realize these things happen on their own timeline.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate for that patience, because it's what allowed me to kind of work at my own pace and then stand back and see, like, what does this all mean? And that's where I found like extra meaning in the work. If I'd rushed through it, don't know if I would have found that. I don't know. So
yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'm also really struck that as a new mom, you're also engaging a process that takes so much patience.
Yeah, because I know.
You're just being pressed in on patience on every level and angle, huh? But I love that you said that it was in more of a meditative way. So even in that sense, you may have more of a presence, more like even control in like what you are able to access in that space versus the forced patience and presence that can come with toddlers or, you know, small children.
Completely. Yes. That's a different kind of patience. It's like a grit your teeth kind of patience. Yeah. Yeah. No. Both kinds of patients, I think, came into play sometimes, but
I'm sure. You mentioned that you start with like this image, like with this idea of what you want to convey, but then you said that there's also this. So when you're looking through the images and stuff, you're using your intuition to find something that emotes the sensation that you're looking to kind of give, right?
Yeah.
What are some of those, or what is the or those sensations that you desire to either put into the work or that a viewer may receive out of the work?
Well, I would say it varies.
Is it piece by piece, or what does it look like?
It does vary piece by piece, although there are some commonalities and themes that emerge. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly capturing connection and closeness, but not in a saccharine way. Mm. I want it to feel real.
Yes.
Like it has two sides to it. So yeah, there's something beautiful about breastfeeding your baby, but then they grab up and latch onto your other nipple with their hand. And it's, it's not entirely pleasant. Yes. So there are all these moments in mothering that test your patience and your willpower. And I want that to be seen. Because I think it makes it more meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's all just, you know, this sort of saccharine beauty, then, well, how lovely, it must be easy. But of course it's not.
Right.
So I'm hoping to capture the reality, the two sides of it, you know, more often than not. And also with a focus on the experience of the mother. Because I think so much art throughout history has been about children. Like you see the mother gazing at the child, but you don't see the mother interrogating the viewer, being like, here I am, this is me.
Yes.
So that was really the impetus in the beginning when I started, was to do that kind of work, to say, notice what she's doing. See her labor.
Yes. And so powerful, especially in a cultural context. I'm going to shout a couple of things out, but and you may have a lot more knowledge than me on this with your background and your research for the work, but in a cultural context where, and I'll name where we are, we're in the modern United States, right? That there's so much emphasis put on the children, even in the hospital, so much emphasis put on the child's health. Our maternal death rates are very high for a country like ours. Yep. All of that, right? So the mother can often be the overshadowed labor, like you said, the laborer that is simply like bolstering up the child and their future, right? Yeah. And I don't know, I can't speak for other cultures. I will speak for this, the one that I am in, but that's so pervasive, I think, in this culture.
Absolutely.
That the mother can become like this invisible martyr almost. And we're all like, oh, you sacrifice so much. And it's like,
and it's just lip service.
Oh, it's so gross. Yes. It's so gross.
Yeah. I mean, just look at postpartum care. It almost doesn't exist.
Yes.
And that's when like you're bereft. You have no idea what to do with these children. It's like, oh God, you know, and no one is there to like tell you what to expect from your body or how long it takes to heal. It's all this culture of like, you know, snap back into your pre-pregnancy genes.
Get your body back. Oh my God.
Or a million different things and just platitudes about.
Yes.
Yeah. about child rearing. And it comes from, yeah, it's part of the culture. Absolutely. Mm. And I think that older women can sometimes be some of the worst.
Yes.
Because they've forgotten. They remember the beautiful moments. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a reason those stick in our brains and we forget we forget the hardship. But when you're in the hardship, you're in it. And there's nothing anyone can say to sort of soothe you. You just have to live it.
Yes, it's so hard. And there's a reason the species has lived on. Like we don't remember those things, right?
Exactly.
Like,
you forget.
Yes.
Oh, birth. Oh yeah, I can do that. That's fine.
I know. Oh yeah. That's not as bad as I remember. Or like I don't remember how bad it was. Right. Absolutely. And so much too of it's amazing. You said sometimes the older women are like the worst about it. It was amazing to me when I was there's just not a lot of space either for shared experience or to like talk about these things. Like there's there's like these mommy groups and like mommy blogs became like a massive thing in the 2000s, you know, that there really isn't like it's. So when I was pregnant with my daughter, everyone that has had a child would tell me all about their pregnancy and their birth story. Like, and I was like, I would get so annoyed with it. And I was like, oh my God, why are these people unloading on me? Because of all the work, the other work that I do, I'm like, I have very serious boundaries about like when people get to unload on me. Right. And I'm like, why are these people unloading on me? And I'm like, oh, we don't have anywhere to tell these stories. Exactly. Like people don't ask after the first 6 months after having a child. People don't want to hear your birth story. Yeah. Like people don't care. And usually it's only people that are thinking about having kids or trying to get pregnant or something like that, that will ask. So if you're not around people in that stage of life, like you're not able to tell your story. So there is this like, this major, like almost censoring of the mother, the especially early motherhood experience, like in our culture.
Totally.
And like an amnesia around like what it really looks like also.
It's true. I hadn't thought about the fact that those two things coexist. A censoring and then an amnesia. And and why is that?
So I love that you turned to painting in a way to be seen. You wanted to be seen by others. But such a massive part of the work that you created is also being seen, also seeing others. You said such a massive intent was that mothers would be seen also in their experience and in a real experience. There is beauty here and there's also like a lot of hardship. This is very challenging.
Yes.
And so I think that I just think that that's really beautiful. So is that always like a part of, so even with the virtual reality stuff that you're looking at and this new form of creating, is that connection a foundation of your work or do you have some broader kind of themes that are intense behind what you're exploring?
No, I'm moving in a broader direction in terms of exploring themes that are important to me. And I think when it's said and done, you'll see a through line between this early work dealing with motherhood and, what will come next. And part of that has to do with just how I've moved on in this phase of life and in embracing the title of artist and what that means and what it could mean.
Yes.
So I'm interested in moving into this space that I'm calling it like bridging the gap between the sacred and the profane.
Wow.
That inspires kind of this feeling of awe. As we were doing our, like I mentioned earlier, the elevator pitches, right?
Yes.
Towards the end of our little session, they said, now, if you were sort of like in a conversation with someone, like what would your hook be? What is your conversational hook? And maybe this is a question. And so I was like, oh, wow. And that got me thinking. So I wrote down this question of, have you ever had an art experience that kind of took you out of yourself? Because I have. And they're so inspiring. And they inspire me to want to make those experiences for others. So that's what I'm aiming for. We'll see.
I love it. I love it. I just resonate with that so deeply in different ways and on different levels, as far as like part of what led me to the spiritual direction space, which are mm-hmm. spiritual emotional experiences, was I was always trying to create in my art mm-hmm. something that would be similar to like that awe or like that worship experience mm-hmm. in a religious setting,
yeah.
but taking it out of a church or an institutionalized space.
Yeah.
And so being an experimental photographer, mm-hmm. there's so much power in color, mm-hmm. in texture. So creating these vessels that people can kind of pour into that hopefully would create sort of this like emotional experience yeah. and spiritual experience. So it's funny how that spiritual direction and that,
yeah.
that art are all they're the same. They're the same.
They are. They're the same. And I remember as a child having these experiences in nature that were,
yes.
that just sort of knocked my socks off.
Yes.
And then, I don't know, somehow just in growing up and the busyness of daily life and becoming a grown up, and mm-hmm. it just gets kind of shoved to the back of your brain mm-hmm. somewhere, just in your memory bank. And there yes. are fewer experiences or fewer moments in time where you take the time to feel awe and wonder.
Yes.
So,
yes,
but it really rewires us when we have it. And mm-hmm. yeah, I'm looking for that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. I also, my brain's going in a million different directions as far as especially specializing with folks in deconstruction and mm-hmm. a lot of folks working with a lot of folks that come from religious institutional religious spaces mm-hmm. and desiring that connection and that awe and yeah. that no matter what they call it, if it's universe, if it's energy, if it's just earth, like if it's any of those things. And I just talked to a psychologist last week about finding those experiences through sensory kind of trainings, using that rewiring and that healing to create kind of these experiences. But that's still a little bit different than just this awe. Mm-hmm. So like love that you as an artist are trying to recreate these spaces. And also makes me wonder, I love that you bring up the experience in nature, because those words, the sacred and the profane, make me wonder at your own, do you have a religious background or is it mostly naturalist?
No.
I love it.
I was raised evangelical.
Okay.
Until I was about 14. So I think even before then I kind of had a fissure with the evangelical faith.
Sure.
And then, sure. and
yeah.
And then I had some exposure to Episcopalian faith as well. I ended up going to a university that is affiliated with the Episcopal Church. It's not a religious school, but it does have a divinity school for Episcopalians.
Wow.
So there were a number of Episcopalians there. And then my mm-hmm. grandparents were Episcopalian. So, but those were two very different worlds between the evangelical and the Episcopal.
Yeah.
But Christian. Yeah. All the way through.
Yeah.
And now gotcha. I'm something of an agnostic. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So then can you tell me, just indulge me for a moment, and then I promise I'll get back on track, but you and I could chat about this for hours, I'm sure. What does, as you tell me that word sacred and profane, what does sacred mean for you? What are you exploring in this?
Truthfully, the answer that I have is going to sound so wonky in like a psychoanalytic way.
Okay.
I think of it as the space between words, between experience and language.
Mm-hmm.
You could yeah. call it the gap. You could call it ineffable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have words for almost everything. And mm-hmm. yet there is something more that
yeah.
can't be grasped with language.
Yes.
I realized this when I was in Spain, actually, and I was living in my second language, and there was poetry. And I understood that I would never really know the full meaning of the poetry because it wasn't my language.
Yes.
And then I realized, even if it were my language, I couldn't understand the full meaning. And so in that is, I don't know, it's a productive space for wonder and gray zone. And what's in there? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So
Oh, I love in that description too. Like it just hits me that it's like so important that you're like you said, like two dimensions wasn't enough, that you're adding a dimension. Like it feels so like, oh my gosh, that makes complete sense because you're trying to describe something, you're trying to like create an experience around something that we have no power to describe or like, you know, but then also, so you're adding another dimension, but then it's also like contrasting as far as like, oh, we can't do anything to get nearer, but we try so much. And so like, mm-hmm. let's add this dimension and this sensory, but also the sensory experience through which mm-hmm. we can make more sense
yeah.
of things than we can through things like our abstracted, I mean, very abstracted things like language.
Yeah.
But to take us back a little bit, I wonder at, this is going to be another small question, but you've alluded to this a number of times as far as what your process and your creation does for you. But do you believe that you access healing, transformation, growth, whatever the word is for you, through creating? What does that look like for you?
100%. I mean,
yes,
no doubt. in so many ways. I mean, just the act of sitting and working is itself, it's a meditation on the present moment. I have to be completely present to the task. And then beyond that, when I step away from the work that I do, sometimes I see meanings that I didn't intend or that I didn't yeah. know were there. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's like my subconscious working through my conscious mind, my body yeah. to deliver a message.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's wild.
So, yeah. I mean, I would never stop. I don't want to stop, but I mm-hmm. at this point I cannot stop because there's just yes. so much information to be gleaned and yeah. healing to be had, really.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Do you feel like within your work, there's an offering or an access point of healing or transformation or connection or whatever the word is for other folks?
I hope
we already
so.
Talked about connection.
Yeah. I mean, there certainly yeah. is for me. So mm-hmm. my hope would be that that just kind of shines through.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
That other people can access it too. See something of themselves mm-hmm. or their own story, mm-hmm. their own experience in the work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. Shauna, is there anything else you want to, is there anything I missed or is there anything else you want to share with us today about your work, your process, how it allows you to access healing and healing for others?
I think I've said lots.
I think you have also. I love it and I'm grateful.
I mean, you ask wonderful questions.
Oh, thank you.
It's been such a journey to look at my art practice in that way. I think mm-hmm. that because of the work I do, which is technical in nature, mm-hmm. it can be easy to kind of just get bogged down in the, what am I doing? You know, is it titanium yes. white or is it flake?
Like, yes.
all these details, which, you know, they have their own beauty, but also mm-hmm. it's not why we make the work we make. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, I love that. Thank you. How can people follow you in your art journey and your person journey, all of it? How can people get in touch with you if they'd like to?
Well, the easiest way right now is through Instagram. That's at Shauna Miller Studio. That's S-H-A-W-N-A. And then my website of the same name, ShaunaMillerStudio.com, is under construction. It doesn't yet exist, you know, today as we're recording this, but it's coming along. Hopefully late June, I'm thinking it'll be live.
I love it. Perfect. Oh. Then that should be live for when we're airing this potentially or well, soon.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's all a process.
Right.
Well, Shauna, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing so much of you, your practice, your journey, your art, your process, all of the things with us today. I know that we are all, I don't want to say the better for it, but we are all more expansive because of it. Thanks, right?
Thank you. You're a gift. So,
Oh, thank you so much. It was a gift to be with you today. So thank you. Hey, creator, I'm glad you're here. Healing through creating and going public with our wild and wonderful creations is challenging, but I'm here for you and I'm totally with you. In a sense, I am you. Head over to the website at karenhinmer.com or the show notes to get on the email list. By being on my email list, you receive more from me all about healing through creating and connecting through going public. And you get to follow along and allow me to be your creative guide on how I heal and go public as a creator. Join me. Head to karenhubner.com. That's CarinHubner.com, or head to the show notes to get on that email list. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, hit that rate and review button while you're here. I would love your feedback. And it helps other people find the show so that they can feel like they have a creative guide on this healing and go public journey. Thanks for being here. Bye.